President of the United States welcomes the Crown Prince of Sweden to Wilmington, Delaware, and to the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Trout speaking to you from a spot known as the Rocks at Old Fort Christina, now Fort Christina Park, just off the Delaware River on the Christiana River at Wilmington, Delaware, as the President of the United States prepares to welcome the representatives from the royal family of Sweden and representatives from the Republic of Finland at this 300th anniversary of the first landing of soldier settlers in Delaware in the country they called New Sweden 300 years ago. At the moment, we're standing out on this open space, the rocks, as the desperate, violent, vicious driving rain, I can't find enough adjectives for it, which has been swamping this open site all night long and up until about 3 minutes ago. We're standing here, the rain's clearing just a bit, watching the launches which are pulling up one by one to the landing built on the rocks. These black rocks out in the Christiana River are the actual rocks upon which the settlers stepped when they landed 300 years ago from their little boat, the Kalmar Nickel. And now, as I say, these rocks are covered by a special landing platform, a modern platform to take care of the docking of any sort of modern boat. Two small ships launches, bringing members of the official Swedish Commission and the representatives from Finland from the motor ship Kungsholm, the flagship of the Swedish America Line, which is moored down in the Delaware River. Two cutters have already brought a great many of distinguished visitors ashore, and now the crowd, which has braved this rain, which is standing ankle deep in mud and rainwater, is now waiting the arrival of the Crown Prince himself. As a matter of fact, I might tell you at this moment, we're not quite sure here on the rocks whether Crown Prince Gustav Adolf is going to disembark or whether his place will be taken in these ceremonies by Prince Bertel. That is, this morning, the latest news we had was that, as was known last night, the Crown Prince would not be here and his place would be taken by his son, Prince Bertel. The Crown Princess is expected to take part in these ceremonies. I only mention the possibility that the Crown Prince himself might be here because anything seems to be able to happen this morning. And even as we speak, the rain comes driving down once again hard from the northeast, as the old sailors around this waterfront have been telling the expectant news cameraman, the miserable newspaper correspondents, the radio men, and the officials, as these old salts have been saying, this rain is from the northeast, and the temporary slack off means nothing at all because it's going to pour and keep on pouring hard. At the moment, a gray Coast Guard boat of the United States, the first one of these boats to pull up here, is docking alongside the rocks, and a great many dignitaries suddenly appear from inside the gray cabin. Off come raincoats, newspapers held over the head, umbrellas are taken down, and the people aboard stand revealed on the deck in gold epaulettes, gold braid, blue sashes, white uniforms, gold buttons, all the trappings you can imagine worn by the military and naval attaches and dignitaries of one kind or another from Sweden and from Finland, as well as the representatives of the United States in their gala dress uniforms as well. The conditions here this morning are very trying indeed. Such things as lists of attending notables having been swept away in the mud and rain which is washing over these rocks for the last number of hours. And so there's a great deal of confusion. The band you hear playing in the background is the United States Marine Band under the direction of Captain Taylor Branson, standing with brown ponchos over their uniforms, their white duck trousers visible underneath them as the rain cascades off their shoulders. Apparently the rain doesn't affect their instruments, and they're playing away, apparently waiting to play the members of the Swedish royal family aboard, or rather ashore. And that small hesitation, incidentally, is caused by the fact that the gangplank which served for the small launches of the other two boats was not sufficient for this Coast Guard cutter, and so a group of men, about eight or nine of them, strained away, lifted it, carried it up off the rocks, and I just had to move aside to let them get by with their gangplank. They're taking it now down the wharf here a little ways, disrupting the marine band as they go, knocking aside a few idle spectators, and they're going to put the gangplank on the after deck of the ship so that these notables can disembark. There are two launches have docked, and now there are two Coast Guard cutters, one ready to disembark its passengers, the other pulling up in the stream right alongside it. We were told unofficially beforehand that the fourth boat would contain the members of the royal family. So we're waiting, counting the fourth boat, counting the boats as they come. A great crowd has flooded into Fort Christina Park. Some of them got sort of bogged down in the mud in which people were sinking halfway to their knees, some of them having to be pulled out forcibly, as particularly beneath the press tent. However, there's a great... I stopped on purpose in the middle of a sentence to hold the microphone up and see whether you could hear the splash of water. That's just a workman with a long pole pushing the canvas canopy up so the water falls down. That bit of canopy is directly over the place where the President of the United States will stand when he accepts the 25-foot black granite shaft, the monument depicting the landing of the settlers from the Kalmar Nickel this afternoon, or shortly afterward this morning, as a matter of fact. While we're waiting for the President to arrive, while we're waiting for the various members of the Swedish party, the royal family itself, to arrive, I've just had word sent to me that Columbia's transmitter, Columbia's shortwave transmitter, is working aboard the motor ship Kungsholm herself, moored somewhere out of sight of us down on the Delaware River, I assume. I know that Columbia's announcer, Charles Stark, is on the Kungsholm, and so with the provision that as soon as we ask for the air here at the Rocks, when the President of the United States and the Crown Prince arrive, we want the air back. With that little word, we'd like to see whether we can get Charlie Stark on the Kungsholm.
Thank you very much, Bob. This is... The Manhattan Coast Guard Cutter calling again through shortwave station WAAU, operating on a frequency of 1,646 kilocycles by authority of the Federal Communications Commission. I might pass this information along to you, Bob, and listen very closely for it, because on this patrol boat number 440 rides the Royal Party and the Welcoming Committee from the United States. It's a great boat, about 70 feet long, I believe, and you can probably look forward to it coming up to the Rocks very shortly. Maybe I might ask you to come in again, and if you can see it, aboard that particular boat, you will find Her Royal Highness Crown Princess Louise and Prince Bertil among the welcoming party that the United States sent out to the Kungsholm about an hour or so ago. If you can hear me and you can sight that boat, the Royal Party is on it. Will you come in and tell me?
Hello, yes, I was listening, but I didn't catch the number of the boat, unfortunately, and now just as I'm speaking to you, my earphones are slipping down my wet neck, and I can't hear you if you come in, so don't say anything until I try to get them adjusted underneath this rain hat on the rocks. I didn't get the number of the Coast Guard boat. The two that I was speaking of are still pulled up alongside the shore here, and nothing is happening at the moment. The soldiers in their olive drab raincoats are standing at attention, and they are waiting to give the salute along with the band when the Royal Party does arrive. At the moment, there is nothing happening, though, and people are just standing on the deck of the Coast Guard boat I was talking about, CG-440. Is that the one?
Yes, Bob, that's the boat.
It is, the 440. Well, there's not much activity on it. I didn't catch the numbers before, as I said, and so as long as we're assured that is the boat on which the Royal Party arrives, we shall hold down the air here. Incidentally, I'd like to apologize on the air at this moment, though, for mixing my signals and thinking that you, Charles Stark, were on the Kungsholm instead of on the cutter Manhattan, which I really did know, just slip of the tongue. And so here we are on the rocks, and the dramatic moment is almost here, because that is the Coast Guard boat in which the Swedish royal family members are waiting to come ashore and to be welcomed by the President of the United States. As far as we know here on the rocks, the President returned to his railroad train, pulled out somewhere in the yards this morning, and has been waiting there rather impatiently, according to reports here, to come down and take part in these ceremonies. A great many people here on the rocks have thought that it would be impossible that these ceremonies could actually be held in this driving torrent, really a sort of gale that has been coming down here. But at the moment it is clearing off, although temporarily it's almost sure, because these short spells of relief have been coming off and on every once in a while all morning, but none of them have lasted very long. That command, for which I paused to hope that you could catch an echo, was at ease, and it means that nothing is happening on the Coast Guard boat, which is docked here. I suppose, according to etiquette, the members of the Swedish Commission and the Finland Commission on the Coast Guard boat are waiting for the President to come down to the rocks and greet them, and I suppose they shall not step ashore until the President is here. However, that's only my own guess and my own amateur attempt at international and diplomatic courtesies. The rain has let up a good deal and almost seems to be a hint of sun coming out, though that seems to be too good to be true. The speaking platform, which was erected very laboriously here at Fort Christina Park, is covered with bunting, flags snapping on each one of its corners. That official platform started to sag in the rain and mud here so badly a few moments ago that all the chairs were taken off it, and now only a few chairs remain. There were to have been 100 people seated on that speaking platform alone, but in these conditions, obviously, that would be far from safe. And so only a few members of the official delegations will be allowed to stand on the platform, with a very few, say 10 or 12, being allowed to be seated when the president makes his short address of welcome and accepts this statue on behalf of the United States. The shaft, incidentally, which is sticking right up in front of us, around which the Marine Band is grouped, is a 25-foot black granite shaft. On top is a wave that looks like a disc, and on top of that wave is a representation of the Kalmar Nickel, the ship which brought the first settlers here from Sweden and from Finland, two countries which were one 300 years ago. Two excursion steamers are pulled up alongside, one on either side of the Coast Guard boat. They're crammed with visitors, with sightseers, with passengers who every once in a while, at the behest of some movie cameraman or other, start waving vigorously and cheerfully at nothing at all. That's just for the moving pictures, and it looks very good when it's shown on the screen. The only reason is, of course, that when something to wave about comes along, the newsreel cameras must be pointed at that subject, and that's why they have to get the hand waves ahead of time. It isn't fake, really. It's quite enthusiastic, quite natural, because these people are going to wave. They've been sitting out in that rain for 4 or 5 hours, and when something comes along to wave at, we shall have a good deal of waving. At the moment, suppose we stop and listen to Captain Taylor Branson and his United States Marine Band from Washington playing on the rocks at Fort Christina Park in Wilmington, Delaware. And that was the United States Marine Band playing away for the amusement of those who came here ahead of time to witness the ceremonies this morning when the president welcomes the royal family of Sweden to the shores. Incidentally, the Marine Band was scheduled to play a concert at 9:30 this morning. The ceremonies were scheduled to begin at 10:30, and the band was to play from 9:30 until 10 to keep the crowd happy and amused, but no crowd was here at 9:30, and neither was the Marine Band. That is, they were here, but there was no use walking out in the downpour, much less trying to play. The scene at the moment is a very strange one indeed. This weather has been absolutely unprecedented for any sort of presidential broadcast, and the president has broadcast in some rather vigorous weather, including his second inaugural in Washington in January, but this really was a much more severe storm. The aftermath leaves a very picturesque scene. There are diplomats in high hats and wing collars and striped trousers. There are all sorts of military and naval attachés in gold braid, picturesque uniforms in two shades of blue and in white. And there are soldiers in their olive drab raincoats and their khaki caps. There's a Marine Band with white caps and khaki ponchos and white trousers. And then there are the members of the press and the officials who've been working here so long and who have been trying to protect themselves from the water with any sort of unofficial covering they might get. And so you see in the midst of these people with their gold braid, you'll see somebody walking along with his trousers rolled up above his knees and his shoes squeaking with every step as water pulls out of them. You'll see men who look like sailors, as we of the radio do, with rubber oilskin hats, rubber boots, and raincoats trying to keep some of the water off us. A strange scene, and one that probably would only take place in so easygoing a democratic country as are the United States and Sweden and Finland, those Scandinavian countries which extend a friendly hand across the ocean this morning as the president comes to welcome the Swedish royal family here.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have just seen His Royal Highness, the Crown Prince of Sweden. He wishes to send to the people of America and say that he is terribly sorry that he was unable to participate in the ceremonies for for the tercentenary celebration in this country. He wants the message sent to the people that this celebration should go ahead in accordance with the original plans without his presence and fulfill every plan made previously. I talked with the Crown Prince personally, and he said that his health was fine up until last Tuesday. After that, a very painful symptom set in, and he informs us that he is going to consult a New York specialist on board the Kunz home. I talked also with a private physician of His Royal Highness, and he confirmed this statement, saying that just as soon as possible, they will have some further information as to the general condition of the Crown Prince. But I again want to impress upon the people of America that the Crown Prince sent his best wishes and also said again that he was terribly sorry and sad that he was unable to attend these ceremonies. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Holliday. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Holliday has just given you the message of the Crown Prince. He was one of the six men able to get into the sick room aboard the Kunz home and bring this message to you over the Columbia Network. At the moment now, we're on the Coast Guard cutter Manhattan and proceeding up the famous and historical Christina Creek. As I look out beyond the point of vantage from here, I can see just off in the distance the Wilmington Terminal. We have gone by and now into the rocks just about a city block away. If I can just make one little adjustment here, I believe to turn around so that I might get a little bit better view of it. Bob Trout is over there.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Trout speaking to you from the rocks again. That means Fort Christina Park on the bank of the Christina River in Wilmington, Delaware. Charlie Stark's signal faded a bit there, and anyway, there was a thing or two that we'd like to tell you about. One of them is that a rather remarkable sight just been concluded here. One of these excursion steamers crowded with its passengers, its tourists, people who have come down to get a view of the proceedings from this riverboat. The passengers started to sing very informally and all alone apparently what must have been the Swedish national anthem for all the officials on the Coast Guard boat. All the gentlemen in their fore and aft naval hats and their gold braid and feathers stood quite stock still at attention and saluting. A very informal scene as the passengers, the tourists on the excursion boat started singing the national anthem, and instantly the diplomats and the attachés stood at attention for 3 or 4 minutes here in the slight rain until that national anthem had been concluded. We had word that the president was about to arrive almost any moment, if his party is not already here, walking out now a little bit out into the open and looking back at the speaker's platform so that we can see a face or two. We notice the Secretary of State of the United States, the Honorable Cordell Hull, wearing a high hat, a stiff white collar, and the usual morning clothes that a diplomat wears at an occasion like this. That means, with Secretary Hull here, that the presidential party cannot be far behind if, as I say, it is not already on the grounds. For these grounds, this park is a very informal sort of business, and there won't be the usual 21-gun salutes or anything like that, which usually occurs when the president enters a military reservation or some more formal sort of park. Or there was a little bit of hesitancy there as a few people started walking out toward the Coast Guard cutter, and my attention was distracted, thinking perhaps it was an official welcoming party, but it's not at all, merely a few people walking around in this informal fashion that we were telling you about. The photographers are leaning way out over the stone wharf now on the rocks, taking pictures of various officials on the deck of the Coast Guard cutter. There's some activity down the Christina River as a very large boat that looks like tug. It just went around the bend. We can't see it, but it's headed this way. It looks as if it's an official tug. Perhaps a Navy tug is coming up the river, and also now a small launch, obviously from the Kunz home, flying the Swedish flag, is proceeding up slowly. And though we don't know who is aboard either one of these ships, very shortly we shall find out. Those on the Coast Guard boat are doing just what they were doing some 10 minutes ago, just standing there with their raincoats over their arms, their uniforms quite splendid, even though there is no sun, waiting for something to happen, waiting probably for the American party here on the shore to greet them, to welcome them ashore, and to bid them come as the guests of the United States. This 25-foot black granite shaft, incidentally bearing the likeness of the ship, the Kalmar Nickel, at its top, this granite shaft was contributed to voluntarily by some 200,000 Swedish citizens, rich and poor both, who contributed to buy this monument that the Crown Prince of Sweden was scheduled to present to the President of the United States in behalf of the people of Sweden, in behalf of the people of the United States. There's a bit of good-natured yelling now at the moment from some of the spectators who have been just sitting there patiently holding umbrellas that long ago gave out for many an hour, who've been sitting through that rain and who now think some people are going to come up and stand in front of them, in front of the little barrier there, the fence that was erected, but that's just the usual thing in any public gathering. Those shouts of sit down or we can't see are always with us at any time or any occasion like this. The platform, which everyone is watching rather anxiously to see whether any further signs of sagging appear, is still in rather good shape, a good many people standing up. No one apparently wants to take a chance on those wet chairs. There are three or four chairs which were hastily covered by a poncho, and they still remain so covered. And now here comes the tug we were telling you about. It's a Coast Guard tug with the Coast Guard flag at the foremost, and a good many gentlemen, officers of some kind in blue uniforms with what appear from here to be steel helmets with perhaps spikes on the top. From here, that's exactly what it looks like. But as the tug slowly comes near, some of the party on the Coast Guard boat, the CG-440, are stepping ashore on the rocks themselves. At the meantime, until we identify them and until there is some more action here, let's listen once again to Captain Taylor Branson's famed United States Marine Band playing away until the ceremonies start at Fort Christina Park in Wilmington. Away, played by the United States Marine Band. A salute to the Navy, not only the Navy of our own nation, but the Swedish Navy and the Navy of Finland, as the United States Marine Band plays away on the pier on the rocks at Fort Christina Park at Wilmington, Delaware. For this is a very nautical atmosphere here today indeed. Aside from all the boats, the motor ship Kungsholm, anchored or moored somewhere out of our sight down on the Delaware River. We're up the Christina River, incidentally. Aside from that, these excursion steamers with their spectators and the Coast Guard boats, the launches from the ship which are disembarking their passengers, lend a very nautical touch indeed, not to mention the fact that there's probably more water ashore today than there is in the Delaware River and Bay itself, at least here at Wilmington. There's also a slight let-up now, even in the cloudiness. A bit of light breaks through, and that optimism is accentuated by the fact that suddenly the Marine Band take off their khaki ponchos that they have been wearing around their shoulders, and they stand revealed in their uniforms, white duck trousers, white caps, dark blue coats, with their insignia in red and gold on their arms. They're just standing around waiting for the president when they undoubtedly will render the usual honors, the ruffles and flourishes, and the hail to the chief. There isn't any official program, though. We don't know even about the national anthems or what musical honors the prince, Prince Bertel, and the crown princess will receive when they come ashore, piped ashore, I should say, if they were members of the United States Navy, but I can't quite be sure of that when I'm speaking of the crown princess of Sweden and her son. We're just waiting at Fort Christina Park, and now another workman, one with one of those long push brooms, appears on the platform and starts poking the canvas covering from underneath to knock some of the water off, and inadvertently a bit of it gets on a few high silk hats with not very serious damage except a bit of embarrassment. Let's listen a second. I just wanted to see whether this microphone would pick up that order by the United States Army officer of this fall detachment of Army engineers. Present arms, they do, hats come off, salutes are made, and apparently Prince Bertel and the Crown Princess are to leave the Coast Guard ship and set foot on the soil of the United States. As yet, there is still no sign of the president. I was just moving back a bit so that I could look over the speaker's platform and still keep my eye on the Coast Guard cutter. Those aboard the Coast Guard cutter are now standing at attention, saluting, as the cameramen flash their bulbs. A band somewhere way on the other side of Fort Christina Park's walls was playing the Star Spangled Banner, but so faintly that I'm sure I couldn't have stopped talking to let you hear it. It wouldn't have picked up that clearly through our microphones. It was so far away. Whether it was on one of these launches or even on the excursion boat, I'm not sure, but even that faint trickling of the Star Spangled Banner's notes over here is what caused, I now see, what caused the salutes, the present arms by the Army engineers, and the correct salutes from the diplomats and military and naval attachés aboard the Coast Guard cutter. There is no action. At first, I thought they were about to disembark, but there is no action. Of course, the program here today has been switched around so much that almost anything can happen. No one's quite sure just what is going to happen. Originally, this was scheduled to begin at 10:30 this morning, Eastern Daylight Saving Time. And that is unmistakable. Let's listen. A very small cheer, for there aren't very many people on that excursion boat, a very small one, which is pulled up outside the boundary of Fort Christina Park. All they can hope to see, really, on that excursion boat is the arrival of the president as his car drives up outside the walls, and that very obviously is exactly what they did see. That familiar cheer, that means that there is action. It means that the presidential party is arriving outside the red brick walls, and that very shortly we shall see the arrival of the president of the United States. Meanwhile, we're still just waiting, and barring a bit of music, there's nothing to do except fill the air with a few miscellaneous words which don't mean very much, except that we're waiting to take part in the 300th anniversary of the landing of the first soldiers and settlers from Sweden and from Finland from the small ship Kalmar Nickel, which landed here on these rocks on which we're standing at the moment. Fort Christina, which was built here and which later became the city of Wilmington, Fort Christina is now a park, Fort Christina Park. And its most notable feature is the splendid 25-foot black granite monument to the Kalmar Nickel and its settlers, which is to be presented to the people of America this morning by the Royal Family of Sweden, the President of the United States welcoming this royal family and accepting the monument in tribute. Those cheers, what you hear in the background, are more of the same, and although I cannot see the presidential party, it's on the other side of the wall, I just know, of course, what's happening from the sound of the cheers. It means that the second one was for the president getting out of his automobile and making ready to walk up to the speaker's platform, and there's one more, even though we still can see nothing except the people, the dignitaries, the officials on the speaker's platform itself. The ceremonies themselves will just take care of themselves as they go along once the speaker's platform ceremonies begin. We expect that the governor of Delaware will be the first speaker and will preside at these exercises when the monument is presented and when the president welcomes Prince Bertel and his mother, Crown Princess Louise of Sweden. The Crown Prince himself, Crown Prince Gustav Adolf of Sweden, being indisposed aboard the motor ship Kungsholm, flagship of the Swedish-America line, which made the crossing and which is anchored now in the Delaware River, some little distance from this Fort Christina Park where we're speaking. The President stands on that speaker's platform looking out at the Coast Guard cutter, and now we'll turn around, look at the Coast Guard cutter, and that very obviously is the signal for those officials to come ashore, which they are doing. Order arms was the order given to the Army engineers, and in a moment or two we shall see what musical honors, if any, are rendered to Swedish royalty as they make their way, as they're now doing, up to the speaker's platform. Present arms. The order is given to present arms, and that is what the United States soldiers do, but there is no music. The newsreel cameramen work feverishly. There's a good deal of noise in the background as the press photographers rush along with their boxes, taking shots of Crown Princess Louise and her son, Prince Bertel. The prince salutes the soldiers who are presenting arms, salutes back, bows graciously, and the Crown Princess now is shaking hands with the president, who is listening with a broad smile on his face to the words which she is saying to him. Prince Bertel stands in the background, and there's a great crush of photographers. Flash bulbs are adjusted as this shot is to be made, this meeting. Prince Bertel salutes first, shakes hands with the president, and then salutes once again. A military salute both before and after the handshake with the president of the United States. A very tense moment and an historical moment as Sweden, Finland, and the United States are united here once again in this land that was once New Sweden and is now Delaware. Chairs are very hastily pressed into service by the photographers who are standing on them, trying to get their shots of this meeting, and the dignitaries, the officials, who also came on the same Coast Guard boat, are standing in back of the Crown Princess and Prince Bertel, therefore blocking the view a bit for the photographers. There's just a bit of confusion up there on that platform, which, as we say, suffered a little bit in the violent downpour which has been going on for so many hours, and so there's a little bit of confusion and a little delay in getting things straightened out, in having the seats all arranged. Prince Bertel comes into view once again. He's wearing a hat which they call a fore and aft hat. That is, in a rather slang fashion, it's one of those black diplomat's hats. He's wearing gold epaulets on his shoulder and a good bit of gold braid, a white wing collar with a black bow tie, and a light blue sash crossed across his chest. And so Prince Bertel goes back now and says another word or two to the president. They're chatting as they stand before the speaker's platform before these ceremonies begin, and the prince now is grinning very broadly too as he speaks to the president. The prince is introducing the various members of the Swedish commission who came aboard the Kungsholmen, who came aboard the Coast Guard cutter just now to the rocks. The prince is introducing each one to the president, and so the commission files by shaking hands. In the background, the occasional pop or two of a flashlight bulb as the pictures are taken. At any rate, the American curiosity as to what musical salute, what musical honors the Swedish royalty would bring forth is ended, for the Marine Band didn't play anything, and that just shows the variance in custom. Perhaps, for all we know, there was a Swedish band on the Kungsholm playing some particularly appropriate air as the party left the Kungsholm and went aboard the cutter. A small matter, but one which you learn to think of when you see a good many official affairs move off smoothly and with dispatch. The president standing on the arm of his military aide. Just a bit of motor noise as the Coast Guard cutter starts her engines and makes ready, apparently, to leave this pier on the rocks. It's quite a long, drawn-out affair, this presentation of all the members of the Swedish and Finnish commissions to the President of the United States. And now all those who came on the three boats preceding Prince Bertel and Crown Princess Louise, all these who have been standing there waiting for the President to arrive, now they too come up and form a sort of line. It's a kind of a reception line formed very hastily there on the speaker's platform. Prince Bertel introduces each one to the president, and the president shakes hands with each one of them.
Once again, the sky clouds up. A few drops of rain begin to fall. This last 20 minutes has been the only let-up in a bitter and a violent storm which has lashed this port for, about 10 or 11 hours at least previously to before this broadcast, and which caused its postponement several times this morning. Additional broadcasts and ceremonies are scheduled here in Wilmington, including one at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time, partly in Wilmington, where Secretary of State Cordell Hull is scheduled to speak, and partly aboard the Kungsholm, where the Crown Prince himself is supposed to speak from the boat to America. A shortwave broadcast by Columbia, arranged when it became known that the Crown Prince would not be able to come ashore in the United States, at least not today, that the Crown Prince would not be able to take part in this celebration today. And yes, the rain's here in earnest, and I must duck a bit and get my rubber hat on over my head, or this microphone, as well as my head, will be ruined, and the microphone won't be fit to talk into. The official note there is lent by the Marine Band. They seem to be acting as weather forecasters this morning, because as the rain started just then again, instantly they ducked as one man for their brown waterproofs, or whatever they are, sort of capes they tie around their shoulders. They're tying them around. Umbrellas are going up, and that means that the Northeaster is here to stay. The old sailor said that when it came from the Northeast today, it was going to stay that way all day and to pay no attention to these momentary let-ups. And so we don't know exactly what's going to happen, not only at this ceremony, but what will happen to the others scheduled in Wilmington and in this surrounding district for the next day or two or three. The party still files by the president, military aid and naval aid, standing there at the president's side as he shakes hands with each one of them. And now the last one seems to have gone by, but that isn't so. Because of the condition of this platform, probably the police and Secret Service men have been keeping members of these two commissions, keeping the visitors from the other side from walking up too soon and too suddenly on this platform. And as we said, the last one had gone by. Suddenly a new group was allowed to walk up the platform steps and to file off in front of the president. If you noticed a bit of hesitancy or perhaps suppressed amusement in my voice just a moment ago as I was talking, it was because a member of the White House official staff who came up from Washington just happened to walk out here in front of me, having just arrived with the president and having seen this waterproof garb, the boots and the sailor's hat and the rubber hat and the waterproof coats, which we all hoped were waterproof and which we all have on. He started to laugh, and I'm afraid I laughed back at him while being on the air. We're just waiting for the last person to shake hands with the president so the governor of Delaware can start the proceedings here this morning. Rain pelting down once again, and now there's a bit of confusion on the stand as the members of these two commissions from Sweden and from Finland rush for their raincoats or any sort of protection which they hope will keep some of this rain coming down at a driving hard slant off their clothes and off them. And now all the handshaking being done, the president on the arm of Colonel Watson stands with Prince Bertil on his right as the photographers now have their day. Of course, it was inevitable that the photographers would have a very special picture posed for them. They were unable to get any good shots before. Now the photographers are all clambering up on chairs. In the background, you can hear the soldiers, this small detachment of Army engineers marching off. They're saluting, done, and they're leaving a clear space in front of the president. The president is talking very seriously, nodding his head to Prince Bertil. Prince Bertil leans over and talks back to the president, and they both laugh and grin a good deal as they carry on their conversation. Crown Princess Louise, who's wearing a wide straw hat with a big brim and a color I would call lavender, or perhaps purple, I'm not quite sure. Anyway, Crown Princess Louise now comes up from the background and joins in the conversation, a three-cornered conversation between the president, Prince Bertil, Crown Princess Louise. They all laugh again, and apparently their conversation is of a light tone. In case you're interested in a further style note, I might add that from here it's quite plain that the Crown Princess has on two long pearl earrings and a gray waterproof coat. Another slight hesitation in this description, which was caused by someone grabbing a handkerchief out of my pocket and taking it up on the stand to tie over our microphone to keep the water from washing all our equipment away. That's the shortest way to put it, from knocking us off the air before our broadcast is over. Marvin McIntyre, the president's secretary in a raincoat, but in no hat, appears on the stand, shakes hands with someone in a straw hat who puts his hand around Marvin McIntyre's shoulder. It's all very informal this morning, as you've gathered, no doubt, and it's very unmilitaristic. It doesn't move with any sort of military precision, this ceremony. It's more like a good neighborly visit between one close friend, one neighbor, and another. It all has the atmosphere of a sort of, not backyard, but the atmosphere of a front lawn when you drop over after dinner and shake hands with somebody that you don't see very often, but that you like very much. The president's still chatting very, very intensely with Prince Bertel, who is laughing right back with the president, and as far as the stars of this ceremony are concerned, they seem to be enjoying themselves so well that they don't particularly care, perhaps, if it doesn't start any too soon. But we're waiting for the governor of Delaware to give the word to start the proceedings. Yes, sir. Thank you so much indeed. There was a pause, as I was informed by a member of the radio commission here for this tercentenary, that the holdup now is due to the fact that the Finnish delegation was a bit late in arriving due to weather conditions, and now they're having a bit of difficulty in seating them. Of course, as we say, the most careful arrangements and plans, and there were careful plans made for years for this tercentenary, the most careful plans were washed away this morning. The press stand, a tent with long benches for the men to write on, is absolutely unwritable. As a matter of fact, if you walk underneath it, it pulls your rubbers and your shoes right off. You sink down into mud halfway up to your knee, and that's the end of trying to write under the press tent. It's just one of those things that nobody could do anything about. To explain once again the reason for a Finnish delegation, 300 years ago when these settlers came up the Christina River on the tiny boat, the Kalmar Nickel, Finland and Sweden were one country under Queen Christina, for whom this fort was named. The governor of Delaware, his notes in his left hand, approached the speaker's rostrum, the microphone stand, apparently about to speak, but then he thought better of it, and at the request of a photographer, he moved back and stood between Prince Bertel and the president. Now, here we start, the governor of Delaware.
Mr. President, your royal highnesses, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor to present the Right Reverend Bishop of Lund, who will ask the blessing of God on this occasion. Bishop of Lund.
And there is a momentary lull as the bishop comes out from the crowd, huddling out of the rain in the rear of the platform.
Peace be with us all, and grace from our Heavenly Father. We hope and pray that God will unite us all in the love of Christ in these days when men are drifting apart. May we all unite in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor to present His Royal Highness Prince Bertil of Sweden.
Mr. President, Governor McMullen, official representatives, ladies and gentlemen, to you and through you, to all the people of these United States, we bring at this moment greetings of goodwill and friendship from the country of Sweden, far beyond the ocean. We members of the official Swedish delegation to the new Sweden to centenary, who have just landed on the very same spot where 300 years ago our forefathers first set foot on Western soil. We want you to know that when we extend to you, friends of America, these greetings, we are speaking for the whole people of our own beloved country, Sweden. So you will readily understand what a bitter disappointment it means to him not being able to fulfill this duty. I fervently hope that his recovery will be rapid and that he may again take his place at the head of the Swedish delegation. From my grandfather, His Majesty King Gustav V, I carry a special message. He commissioned me to say to you that his thoughts are with us on this day of jubilation. With all his heart, he rejoices in the hope and conviction shared by all Swedes that new bonds of friendship shall be the outcome of these celebrations. I'm speaking on behalf of a Swedish delegation composed of men and women representing a great variety of occupations and interests. I believe that in modern times, no more numerous or more representative mission has ever been sent abroad from Sweden. Amongst our members, we count cabinet ministers, the speakers of both houses of the Swedish Riksdag, representatives of the church, of the various fields of science and education, of the administration, as well as representatives of business and trade, of the farmers, industrial workers, and others. We of the Swedish delegation are deeply moved and greatly honored by the presence here today of the President of the United States. Your great, gracious participation in this event, Mr. President, conveys to us the assurance that great importance is attached to the tercentenary by the American people. Our greetings from Sweden are addressed to you, Mr. President, in the fervent hope that they may convey to you and to your country that friendly spirit which we should like to feel exists in Sweden as regards the United States. The monument to be unveiled, to be dedicated today, is a gift from the people of Sweden to the people of the United States. The funds were raised through public subscription, wherein several hundred thousands of our citizens took part. I believe that amongst these subscribers, many had across the Atlantic brothers and sisters, parents and children. In contributing, they must have felt the links which connects them and all of us with your great country, where so many of the citizens are either of Swedish birth or purely or partly of Swedish descent. Near this spot, the Fort Christina State Park was the first permanent settlement in the Delaware Valley. The Swedes who landed here 300 years ago were few in number and of poor means. Yet, thus began the relations between our two nations. Indeed, it is fitting that together we should commemorate that event, the inauguration of an unbroken period of international friendship. We should be reminded of these facts by the monument cut by our famous sculptor, Carl Millers. In the black granite of Sweden. What memories of Simone forth at a moment like this. It is with pride we recall the memory of those almost legendary in their little vessel, the Kalmar Nyckel, and who came to found the colony of New Sweden. That little band of gallant men and women have inscribed their names on the pages of history. Their deeds have been considered important enough for the President and Congress of the United States to extend an official invitation to Sweden to take part in the commemorative celebration of this historic event. It meets with our high appreciation, and we offer you our most sincere thanks. In our common acclaim of an historic event of 300 years ago, we stand united, as in our admiration of those early settlers from Sweden who were such worthy and resourceful people. Their love of freedom and their integrity they carried with them as an heritage from the land of their birth. We are happy to feel that in some measure they, as well as their successors during the intervening three centuries, were able to contribute to the development into greatness of your country, the country of their adoption. We are proud to think that their virtue and valor were brought down to their descendants and thus helped in the formation of those traits which we admire in the American people of the present day. Mr. President, Sweden of today wishes to perpetuate the first landing place of our forebears of 300 years ago. We are deeply impressed by the action of the state of Delaware, which so generously has turned the rocks into the Fort Christina State Park, so as to make it a landmark for future generations of the birth of Swedish-American history. This monument is symbol of the affection which my country feels for yours, and in everlasting memory of the first Swedish settlers on the banks of the Delaware River. It is my solemn duty to present it to you, Mr. President. As a gift from the Swedish people to the people of the United States of America, to be kept in custody in this Fort Christina State Park by the state of Delaware.
This is a day of happy significance. Happy significance to three nations. I welcome you, for you represent a true friendship under which we have lived from the earliest times, unmarred by any rift, unbroken by any misunderstanding. So you are thrice welcome to our shores. It is a matter of keen sorrow and regret to me that His Royal Highness the Crown Prince is unable to be at this historic spot today, but all of us pray that his recovery will be speedy and complete, and I personally look forward to welcoming him and his family at Hyde Park or at Washington the end of this week. And I am grateful to Prince Bertil for the message that he has given to us from his distinguished grandfather. And when he returns to Stockholm, I hope that he will give to His Majesty King Gustav V my affectionate regards and the affectionate regards of all the American people. I accept with profound gratitude, in behalf of the people of the United States, this noble monument placed here through the generosity of the people of Sweden. I am confident that to generations yet unborn in Sweden and in the United States, it will typify close association and continued goodwill between our two nations. And it is therefore with much pleasure and sincere appreciation that I turn over to the governor of the state of Delaware this monument to hold in perpetuity in custody for the American people. I am personally fortunate in having a personal association with the colony of New Sweden. Well, one of my ancestors, Willem Beekman, served as vice governor of the colony of Sweden on the Delaware River from 1658 to 1663. And I am also proud that Swedish blood runs in my veins. For another of my ancestors, old Martinus Hoffman, was an early Swedish settler in New Amsterdam. My friend, the governor of Delaware, holds office in direct official succession from the old governors of New Sweden, which reminds me of a recent rhyme descriptive of that famous Swedish governor, Johan Prince, that doughty pioneer who is said to have tipped the scales at more than 300 pounds. No gov of Dell, before or since, has weighed as much as Johan Prince. Your Royal Highnesses, it is a privilege to make grateful acknowledgement of the outstanding contributions made to our national life by men and women of Swedish blood. To this spot came the pioneers. But in the succeeding centuries, tens of thousands of others have come to our shores and added their strength and their fine qualities of good citizenship to the American nation. In every phase of our history, in every endeavor, in commerce and industry, in science and art, in agriculture, in education and religion, in statecraft and government, they have well played their part. Nor have we as Americans forgotten that after the War of the Revolution, Sweden was the first neutral European power to negotiate a treaty of amity and trade with our young and struggling nation. All these things we Americans recall today with grateful hearts. And to you who are here as representatives of the people of Finland, I extend an equally hearty welcome. Men and women from Finland, through the generations, have also contributed greatly to our American civilization. Finland, small in size, but mighty in honor, occupies an especially warm place in the American heart. Sweden, Finland, and the United States will continue their service in the days to come in the cause of friendship and in the cause of peace among the nations of the world.
And thus, ladies and gentlemen, does the President of the United States take part in the Swedish tercentenary at Fort Christina Park in Wilmington, Delaware, the commemoration of the 300th anniversary of the landing of the first soldier settlers from Sweden and from Finland, two countries which were one 300 years ago. Here are the Ruffles and Flourishes. Ruffles and Flourishes by the United States Marine Band. Thus ends our program from Fort Christina Park, Wilmington, Delaware. Bob Trout speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.